From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Wednesday, April 22nd, 2026. On today's show, Idaho's governor dismissed blowback from the Gem State's biggest teachers union on a visit to Coeur d'Alene yesterday. And a report finds Washington's Criminal Justice Training Commission doesn't have the tools to enforce its mandates, and police in Washington are way behind on its training requirements. Plus, it's Earth Day. 4 years ago, then-President Biden announced the first-ever National Nature Assessment. President Trump canceled the effort when he arrived at the White House for his second term, but researchers, led by a Washington scientist, plan to publish it anyway. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. Idaho's governor is shrugging off his loss of support among many state teachers. Idaho Education Association members have issued a no-confidence vote in the governor. The state's largest teachers union has previously endorsed Brad Little in his bids for the governorship. A union spokesperson says members are unhappy Little signed what they see as a union-busting bill. He says the new law makes it more difficult for them to collect member dues and hold union-related activities on school property. Little doesn't seem to be worried about the criticism.
I'll make my case to the teachers any day about what I've done for teacher pay, starting teacher pay, veteran teacher pay, career ladder, insurance, all the things we've done for education.
Speaking with reporters in Coeur d'Alene yesterday, he urged teachers to look beyond the one bill and consider that public schools generally escaped budget cuts.
In fact, we had some areas where we had to put more money into for teachers' insurance, particularly the rural parts of Idaho that don't have a very good tax base. We help to make certain that all teachers are covered by a really good health care plan.
Little also touted his Idaho Launch program, which allows graduating high school seniors to apply for scholarships to cover their post-secondary education. The legislature reduced funding for that program by $10 million for each of the next 2 years. Governor Little also says Idaho may not have budgeted enough money for some labor and aircraft costs this fire season.
You know, if we have a perfect fire year, we'll be all right. If we have a draconian fire year, we'll have to pay for part of that on the credit card.
Little says the legislature allocated about $15 million, just enough to cover the basics. Now he's crossing his fingers and hoping for a repeat of 2025.
I remember last year at this time, and a month later, we were worried about North Idaho. It was dry, 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 everything. And then we had a really mild fire year up here.
Little says he's trying to convince the legislature to put permanent funding in the budget for wildfire suppression. Climate scientists say this year's drought, above average temperatures, and below average snowpack are setting the stage for increased fire danger as the summer progresses. Washington police officers are way behind on mandated de-escalation training, and the State Criminal Justice Training Commission doesn't have the tools to ensure police comply with requirements. Those are two of the findings from a recent report by the State Auditor's Office. The commission established a 40-hour training mandate for officers on a variety of patrol tactics and cultural awareness topics based on a successful 2018 ballot measure. But the audit shows only 14% of new officers and 16% of veteran officers have met the requirement. Olya Bilobran was the report's lead auditor. She says her office recommends lawmakers convene a working group to see how else Washington can support police so they can complete the training.
There is no, so to say, carrot or stick in the law for officers not completing the training. And that is also one of the things we suggest the legislature looks into with that work group to see if there can be some incentive provided for officers to take the training.
Police agencies told auditors that because many courses can only be done in person, staffing and funding issues prevent officers from taking leave to attend training. Auditors also report some officers are resistant to certain training for personal or political reasons. The Washington Council of Police and Sheriffs has not responded to SPR's request for comment. Washington's gray wolf population is growing, but not its livestock depredation numbers. The latest report shows 270 wolves in Washington last year, up 17% from 2024. While there are 49 known wolf packs, only 5 packs killed or injured livestock in 2025, compared to 10 in 2024. And the number of confirmed cattle lost dropped from 17 in 2024 to 9 last year. Kristen Botsit is a wildlife biologist with the nonprofit Defenders of Wildlife. She helps ranchers reduce conflict between wolves and livestock.
For Washington, most of my efforts have been focused on livestock carcass management. So specifically on exploring like ways that we can establish, you know, disposal programs that are helping producers remove animal carcasses, bone piles.
She says carcass management, along with things like range riding and fencing, can help prevent packs from locking in on cattle or sheep as a food source. And the Department of Justice is investigating the University of Washington for its, quote, handling of anti-Semitism. KUOW's Scott Greenstone has more.
This is not the first time the Trump administration has looked into allegations of anti-Semitism at University of Washington after pro-Palestinian protests on campus in 2023 and 2024. But what seems to have triggered this investigation is a fundraiser by a group that is no longer affiliated with UW, Students United for Palestinian Equality and Return. SUPER's student group status was revoked by the university last May when 33 activists occupied a building and smashed lab equipment. They were charged with misdemeanors in March. The 23 students among them were suspended last year but can now return to class. Assistant Attorney General Harmeet Dhillon announced the investigation on social media, mentioning SUPER's Tuesday night fundraiser for, quote, Lebanese resistance. A UW spokesperson said the university will cooperate with this federal review. I'm Scott Greenstone in Seattle.
It's Earth Day. 4 years ago today, President Joe Biden announced an executive order in Seattle that created the first ever national assessment of nature. President Donald Trump rescinded the effort 2.5 years later on his first day in office. But the team that had started the work, led by a professor at the University of Washington, refused to give it up. Now, an almost 900-page draft of the assessment is out for public comment, with plans for publication by the end of this year. KNKX Environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe has the story of how it all came about.
On Earth Day 2022, President Biden stopped at Seattle's Seward Park to sign an executive order.
It's an honor to be in this beautiful park with y'all.
His remarks highlighted his administration's climate agenda, the pledge to map, catalog, and conserve old-growth trees in national forests got the most applause. But Biden also spoke more broadly about the benefits of nature.
Scientists estimate that the protection and restoration of our natural lands and waters can provide more than one-third of the solution to climate change. Just that, if we did nothing else.
And because of those climate benefits, tucked into the executive order that Biden signed in Seward Park was a short clause stating that new research would include an assessment of the condition of nature. About a year after the announcement, Phil Levin was appointed by the Biden administration to direct the National Nature Assessment.
So it was the first time that there was going to be a holistic assessment of the condition of nature in the U.S., so our lands, our waters, our wildlife, and all the benefits that nature provides to people, from jobs and livelihoods to health and well-being to safety from natural hazards, and even to our cultural heritage.
Levin is a professor of environmental sciences and interim director of the Earth Lab at the University of Washington. His initial team produced an annotated outline of the assessment. Those 50 pages are in the Federal Register. And the team was almost done with its first draft when President Trump canceled the effort. So Levin says he had no doubt that he'd just somehow keep it going.
I believe that the work needs to be done. I believe this work is really important for our country. So, okay, the government isn't going to support it anymore. It doesn't mean that the work's not needed. And so we just kept going.
All the authors were already volunteers. About a quarter of them were federal and unable to continue. So Levin had to rebuild the team. He says he never doubted that the assessment was needed. That hunch was validated when he saw the team's preliminary findings.
50% of our wetlands have been lost. Half the country is used for agriculture. 1 million acres of land every year are converted to development across the U.S. And there's 90,000 dams in U.S. rivers that are disrupting, you know, fish migrations. At the same time, There's a lot of hope and optimism. There's a lot of bright spots out there.
The successful dam removal and restoration of the Elwha River, for example, the rebuilding of fisheries on the West Coast, and recent recognition for indigenous stewardship or for the need to plant trees and regreen our cities, he says. Levin formed a nonprofit and rebranded the National Nature Assessment as a national initiative called the Nature Record. 171 authors are on the team. Their third draft is now out for scientific review. With this draft, they're also touring the country, making presentations and asking for public comment. Levin says all the chapters are posted for anyone to see at naturerecord.org.
Whether you're a technical expert or just an interested person, we are wanting to hear from everyone.
He says they've also recently started working with partners in the arts community. And there's an anthology of poetry that's a companion to the assessment.
I mean, we all have something to contribute to this record. Not everybody is a scientist. Scientists can contribute in one way. We all see things that are changing. We all see hope, I think. And so these artists are engaging and creating the record through their own skills and lens.
After the comments are processed, the first edition ebook of the Nature Record will be available for download. MIT Press will also publish it as a paperback book for sale. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe reporting.
SPR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting today was contributed by Doug Nadvornik, Scott Greenstone, Bellamy Palethorpe, and me, Owen Henderson. I'm also your host and producer. Thanks for listening. It's SPR.